I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from Psalm 84, the 84th Psalm. I'll read the entire Psalm, and then we'll go back and look at one particular expression. The 84th Psalm has a lot of texts that most all of you are very familiar with. There are several verses that you already probably know by heart. Listen carefully, please, to the reading from God's holy word in Psalm 84, beginning with the first verse and reading through the 12th verse. Before we begin to read, I would ask you to join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to know that You're our Heavenly Father. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of knowing that it is in Thee that we live and move, have our very being. We're dependent upon Thee for everything that we do that's right and good in our lives, and we pray that You would help us individually and each family that's represented here this day, that You would bind us all together with Thy love, keep us close to Thee and close to each other. You'd help us all to walk as children of light to Thy name's honor and glory. We beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that You're the great physician. We ask You to touch and heal and lift up those who have special burdens and problems. And we pray that You would bless those who have lost loved ones, that You would comfort their hearts, give them a special measure of Thy grace. Pray, Lord, that You would accept our thanksgiving for the bountiful blessings that You have bestowed upon our lives during this past week and all the days of our lives. We thank You for already the blessings that we've had this day. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come into the house of the Lord, to lift up our voices and try to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to sing songs of praise, to sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We pray now that as we begin to try to study Thy holy word, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would guide us and direct us into that portion of Thy word, that Thou would have us to hear, help us to hear, believe, and obey Thy holy word. And help us to be doers of Thy word and not hearers only. Bless us now and bless all of Thy people the world over. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 84, beginning with verse 1. The word of God says, "How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. They will be still praising Thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. For a day in Thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." If correctly read, that's Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. I want us to go back and look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." I want us to look at that expression, primarily in verse 6. The beginning of the expression is in verse 5 where it says, blessed is the man. That's how verse 5 begins. Blessed is the man. And then verse 6 says, who, passing through the valley of Baca, maketh a well. I want us to think about that expression, that the man that passes through the valley of Baca and makes it a well, that is a blessed man. Now, the valley of Baca was also known as the valley of tears and the valley of sorrows. The valley of Baca was known as the valley of tears and the valley of sorrows, and it represents any time in the people of in the lives of the people of God when they're going through extremely difficult and hard times. In all of our lives, we have those occasions that we go through the valley of Baca. That is, we have times in our lives, we have seasons that we're on the mountaintop, and then we have seasons that we're down in the valley. We have seasons of prosperity, and then we have seasons of poverty spiritually. Sometimes we're very close to God, and sometimes we're far away from feeling the fellowship of God. And in those bad times, we're in the valley of Baca. We're in a time of sorrow and a time of tears, a time of weeping, a valley of Baca. Now, there is a sense in which our whole lives in this world is in a valley of Baca. That is, when you contrast the wonderful glories of heaven with the way that we live in this world and the problems we have in this world, then you could say that there is a sense in which we are living our entire lives in the valley of Baca. But the Word of God says here, blessed is the man who, passing through, I want you to remember those words right there. These valleys, and particularly this valley of Baca, the Word of God makes it plain that you're not living in that valley, but you are what? You're passing through the valley of Baca. Blessed is the man who, passing through the valley of Baca, shall make it a well. Now, when you think about a well, especially if you had been living in biblical times, you would know that a well is one of the most important things that there was on the face of the earth. It was a place where you got water. It was something that sustained your life. It was something that gave you strength and encouragement. And what the Word of God is saying here to me is that blessed is the man who, passing through these difficult and extremely trying times in our lives, that while we're in the valley of Baca, blessed is the man that makes it a well. Blessed is the man that in the midst of the valley of Baca, in the midst of all of his troubles and his problems, he looks to God, and even in the valley of Baca, he can rejoice and be glad in the middle of his troubles. Now that takes a lot of faith, brethren. Takes a tremendous amount of faith. It's much like when Paul and Silas were cast into prison in Acts chapter 16. The Word of God describes, and I'm not going to turn there right now, but in Acts 16, the Word of God describes an occasion where Paul and Silas were cast into prison, and while they were down in prison, you and I might have been sitting there weeping and sorrowing. They were certainly in a difficult and extremely bad time in their lives. And yet, what did they do while they were in that prison? They sang and they praised God while they were in the prison. Now, you see what they did there? They did exactly what the psalmist here says. It's a blessed man that, passing through, and was Paul and Silas, were Paul and Silas going to die in that prison? Well, they might not have known for sure. But really, even if they had died in the prison, they were still coming out, weren't they? And the point I'm trying to get through to is that they were passing through that valley of Baca, And while they were there in that prison, they were praising God and singing and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so it is that they turned the valley of Baca into a what? Into a well. A well is the first thing. We'll get to the pool later, but they turned it into a well. They dug down. They reached down into their souls, and they found the faith that they needed to trust in God and worship God and praise God even in the valley. Much like David said in Psalm 23 and verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk," what? "Through the valley." You see? You see the passing through? I want to emphasize that because all of us need to know and understand that even if you have an entire life of Baca, of sorrow and trouble, you need to always remember you are passing through. You always need to remember that you're only going to be here in this world a little while. At best, brethren, the Word of God describes our lives as a weaver's shuttle. It goes by in a hurry. The Word of God describes our lives here in this world as a vapor, which appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. The Word of God describes our lives on this earth as a handbreadth, a very short time of measurement. We're only going to be here a little while. We're passing through the valley of Baca. And as we pass through the valley of Baca, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can make it a well or we can make it a hell. If you don't look to God for the strength and the grace that you need when you're passing through the valley of Baca, if you're having difficult times and you don't lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, you're going to be in hell when you're down in the valley of Baca. But if you look to God, if you lift up your eyes, if you depend on the Lord, if the Lord is your strength, if you trust in God, you can turn the valley of Baca into a well, a place of refreshing and nourishment, a place that though you are cast down, God lifts you up. Even in the middle of the valley, you can turn the valley of Baca into a well. Go with me to Jeremiah just a moment. Look, please, in your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 50. You'll find that the children of Israel, usually if I had just said the children of Israel came out of captivity, the children of Israel came out of captivity, what's the major captivity that you think the children of Israel came out of? Egypt. They came out of Egypt. That is the first and probably the most terrible bondage that they were ever in was in Egypt. Were they in the valley of Baca when they were down there in Egypt? Now, while they were in the valley of Baca, and then they came out of the valley of Baca. They came out of Egypt and they came into the wilderness. And what did they decide then when they were in the wilderness? It was worse. We wish we were back down there in Egypt. You see, the point is that they were passing through the valley of Baca. They started out as they were in Egyptian bondage in the valley of Baca. They went into the wilderness and they said, "This is worse than it was back there." Have you ever said, "It can't get any worse than this"? Fasten your seatbelt. It will. If you ever think it can't get any worse than this, I'll assure you that in my life, that when I've said that, it has gotten worse than this. So don't ever think, brethren, that it's as bad as it can get, because it can get worse. But what I'm here to tell you this morning is, through the truth of God's Word, that it doesn't matter how bad it gets, it doesn't matter how deep the Valley of Baca is, it doesn't matter how long the Valley of Baca is, you can turn the Valley of Baca into a well and find great power and strength from God in the midst of the valley if you'll trust in God and exercise your faith and look to Him. You'll feel the power of God. And that's how you turn the Valley of Baca into a well. And you stop the Valley of Baca from being a hell. It's a privilege and a blessing. That's what the text says. The text says, blessed is the man. Do you realize how blessed you are? As children of God, who have faith, who know the one true and living God, do you realize how blessed you are to be able, by the grace of God and the power of God, the privilege that you have to turn the valley of Baca into a well? That's a powerful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing. Now in Jeremiah chapter 50, we're not reading here about the children of Israel being delivered from Egyptian bondage, but we're reading in Jeremiah 50 about the children of Israel being delivered from Babylonian captivity. You see, they went through the valley, and they came out in Canaan land finally, and they dwelt in Canaan land, and they had great high mountaintop experiences as they saw the power of God giving them victory in Canaan land. But then, what did they do? They forgot God who had delivered them. And they went right back down into what? God put them back down in the valley of Baca. If you're not going to live right on the mountaintop, if you're not going to live in a way that pleases God on Mount Zion, He will take you right back down to the valley of Baca. And He will leave you alone sometimes in the valley of Baca, and He will not allow you to find a well there, and He will not allow you to dig a well there because you've turned your back on Him when He gave you Mount Zion and He gave you the kingdom of heaven, and you didn't enter in and you didn't rejoice in His blessings, and so He'll just send you back down into the valley of Baca, and you won't be able to have a well there, and then the valley of Baca becomes a valley of hell instead of making it a well. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 50, listen to verses 4 and 5, and I encourage you to go home and read this entire chapter, but listen to Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. The Word of God says, In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and, what are they going to be doing? Going and weeping they shall go, and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way of Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Here it is, they're coming out of Egypt. They're coming, rather, out of Babylon. And as they come out of Babylon, they say, let's join our hands. Let's join our hearts together. Let's be people that really seek the Lord our God. And that's what my exhortation to all of us here this morning is, that you individually and your family, that you would be individuals and families, and that we would be a church that seeks the Lord, that we would depend on God, that we would know that it is God that is on His throne, that He is our life, He is our joy, He is our exceeding great reward. And if you recognize that and exercise your faith and look to the Lord, you, in the middle of the valley of Baca, you'll make it a well. You'll make it a well. That's what the children of Israel did here in Jeremiah chapter 50. Go with me back to Deuteronomy just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Turn back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11, because there were occasions. Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like when you were in the valley of Baca, have you ever felt like when you were in the valley of Baca and you were weeping and having a difficult time, have you ever thought, where is my God? Where is my God? And sometimes the enemies of the people of God will say to you, where is your God? And what the enemy says and what the devil says is that God is the God of the hills, but God is not the God of the valleys. I want you to know that God's Word declares very plainly that's a doctrine of the devil. The devil would have you believe that God is the God of the hills, and God is only with you, and He will give you prosperity financially if you'll serve the Lord. I'm telling you, you can serve the Lord and be poor as a pauper. But even though you're poor, if you're serving the Lord, you'll have a well in the valley. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, listen please. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10, 11, and 12. The Word of God says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess," and what land is it they were on the in the process of going in to possess? What land were they going into right here in Deuteronomy chapter 11? What land were they going into? They were going into the land of Canaan. They were come out of Egypt, and now they're going into the land of Canaan. And as they're going into the land of Canaan, the Scripture says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess, it is not as the land of Egypt from whence he came out, where thou wouldest sow thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys." What does God tell the children of Israel? The land you're going to, the land of Canaan, is a land of hills and what? It's a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. The land of Canaan, the kingdom of heaven, is a land of hills and valleys. Some people will teach you and say that if you serve God, you're just going to have everything you need. Or you're going to have everything you want. You will have everything you need. You won't have everything you want. Some people teach you that, or are teaching, and it's a false theology, that if you love God and you just want something, you just name it and believe and God will give it to you. If you want a big new home, you just name it and God will give it to you. If you want to make $1 million, just name it and claim it and God will give it to you. Brethren, that's the God of the hills and not a God of the valleys. God does not promise you in His Word that you will always be rich. He does not promise you you'll never have sickness. He does not promise you you will never have trouble. He says, on the contrary, that as long as you live in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But what He has promised you is, in the midst of your troubles, He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that's the reason we can have a well in the Valley of Baca, is because God is with us. I didn't get to this a while ago when I mentioned David in Psalm 23. He says, "Yea, though I walk through." Remember, you're passing through. You're walking through. David said, "Yea, though I walk through." Yea, though I walk through the valley of what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For, why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Have you ever been comforted in the valley of Baca? Have you ever had God reach down and lift you up? And though you were in the valley physically, and though you were having major trouble and problems, yet God put you up on the mountaintop in the midst of the valley. God helped you to dig a well in the valley of Baca, and you found great peace and joy in your soul in the midst of all the trouble that was going on in your life. I don't know how people make it without God helping them in this low ground of sin and sorrow in which we live. We need the Lord's help every day of our lives. We must have His help. Go with me to Judges. Go forward in your Bibles about 50 or 60 pages, maybe 70 pages, to Judges chapter 14. I'm not going to read this entire chapter to you, but I encourage you to go home and read Judges chapter 14, at least verses 5 through 10. In Judges chapter 14, verses 5 through 10, the Word of God tells us about Samson. And Samson had found a woman over there in Timnath. And he told his parents, he said, "I found this beautiful woman I want to marry over there in Timnath." And they said, "Why can't you just find a woman right here?" And he said, "Well, that's the woman I want to marry, and I want you to go help me get her as my wife." And on the way to Timnath, as Samson and his parents were going along, there was an animal that came out. Do any of you know what the animal was that came out and attacked Samson while he was on his way to meet his bride, on his way to that wonderful experience of having a beautiful bride. You know what the animal was that attacked Samson on the way to meet his bride? What was that animal? Say it again. It was a lion. A lion attacked Samson. And I want you to look at what the Word of God says in Judges chapter 14. Listen to verses 5 and 6. The Word of God says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him," that is upon Samson, "and he rent him," that is he killed the lion as he would have rent a kid, "and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done." Was he in a valley right here while he was fighting this lion? Do you know what the lion represents in the Word of God? The lion represents sometimes Jesus, but often, more often than not, it represents the devil. The Word of God says that Peter says that we're to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, Samson was on the way to meet whom? He was on the way to meet his bride. And the people of God, while they're on their way to join together in matrimony with Jesus Christ, while they're on their way to intimate fellowship with Christ, you are going to be attacked by Satan. He's going to do everything he can to keep you away from Jesus. He doesn't want you to be married to Jesus, so he's going to attack you. But by the power of God, you can trample Satan under your feet. And then the Scripture says that later, Samson came back to where this lion was, or the carcass of the lion was. And do you remember what he found in the carcass of the lion when he went back? He found bees and honey. And the Scripture says that he took of that honey that was in the carcass of the lion, and he ate that honey, and he didn't tell them where it came from, but he gave his parents some of that honey that came out of the carcass of the lion. Brethren, there have been many times in my life and in your lives that Satan has attacked us and God has given us the victory over the devil. That we have, in the middle of the valley of Baca, that we have had to fight Satan, and God has blessed us to defeat Satan and overcome Satan and destroy him in that particular episode in our lives. And later, do you know what we're always going to be able to do as God has given us the victory from time to time? We're going to go back to that same scene and we're going to draw nourishment from remembering what God blessed us to do with the lion in days gone by. You remember when David went out against Goliath? David was about to fight Goliath. He was going to go down in the valley. He was going down in the valley of Bacor. But do you know what he did? He went and made a well there. And he says, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the bear and out of the, you remember, God delivered him. What was he doing? He was getting honey out of the carcass. He was going back and remembering the power of God that had come upon him. Can you do that in your life? Can you look back in your life and you see that God has given you great victories over Satan? That though you've been in the valley, that God has given you a well, and you've been able to dig a well in the middle of the valley. God has filled that valley with pools. Brother Neil was mentioning that a moment ago. You dig a well, and then God gives you pools of water. That's a lot more blessings than just the well. Go with me to, well, just think for a moment in closing. Jesus, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, was he in a valley while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was in a valley there. You remember how he prayed? And he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And as he kept praying and praying, have you ever prayed for God to remove a thorn from your flesh? Have you ever prayed for God to get rid of a problem in your life? And God didn't get rid of the problem, but God did say, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient for thee. And it's when we feel and believe that, that we have dug a well in the valley of Baca. Jesus dug a well while he was in the Garden of Eden, and he found great strength, so that after he had prayed those three times and his disciples had fallen asleep, then Jesus says, "Let's go, let's meet the soldiers." He was ready to go meet the soldiers, and he was ready to go to the cross of Calvary. And while he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, was he in the valley of Baca there? Yes, he was in the valley of Baca while he was hanging on the cross, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet in the midst of that valley, he dug a well, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Brethren, we too, by the grace of God, we too can dig wells in the valley of Baca. What a wonderful privilege. You see, the text says, blessed is the man. You hear that? Blessed is the man who, passing through. There he goes. Are you going to come out on the other side? Are you going to come out on the other side? You're going to come out on the other side. Blessed is the man who, passing through the valley of Baca, maketh it a well. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.